You guys sounded good this morning. What a beautiful day to be in worship together. Hear now a reading of the gospel from Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. All the tax collectors and sinners were gathered around Jesus to listen to him. The Pharisees and legal experts were grumbling, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Jesus told them this parable. Suppose someone among you had 100 sheep and lost one of them. Wouldn't he leave the other 99 in the pasture and search for the lost one until he finds it? And when he finds it, he is thrilled and places it on his shoulders. When he arrives home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Celebrate with me because I've found my lost sheep." In the same way, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who changes both heart and life than over 99 righteous people who have no need to change their hearts and lives. Or what woman, if she owns 10 silver coins and loses one of them, won't light a lamp and sweep the house, searching her home carefully until she finds it? When she finds it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Celebrate with me because I found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, joy breaks out in the presence of God's angels over one sinner who changes both heart and life. Would you pray with me? O Lord, my God, my rock, and my redeemer, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. I lose my phone, keys, or wallet all the time. Probably almost daily. I lost my phone this morning. I was trying to leave the house and I couldn't find it. I checked the same places: purse, key hook, dining room table. Is it still in the car? Which car did I drive last? My phone might be upstairs in the living room or the laundry room or the bathroom. Who really knows? And it's always on silent, so it won't even ring if you call it. But I spend time looking all around over and over and over again. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. We love this beautiful, incredible, familiar hymn, but something about the idea that I once was lost doesn't quite tell the whole story. The story of our faith is not a tidy before and after. Like my phone, keys, or wallet, we as Christians, as simultaneous sinners and saints, we get lost over and over again. In our scripture lesson, Jesus is being criticized for welcoming sinners and tax collectors. In response, he shares the two parables we've just heard, and the following parables, the more commonly known parable of the prodigal son. Jesus intends to make a point about lost things being found. Preacher and author Debbie Thomas opened my eyes to something I hadn't considered about this text before. As we've been discussing the parables in this series, we know that they are mysterious and open to interpretation. But if you were thinking about the lost sheep or the lost coin, who might you think they were? Who are the sheep that get lost? Who are the coins hiding in dusty corners? As Jesus is telling this parable, the Pharisees were complaining about Jesus welcoming sinners and tax collectors, so it might be natural for us to think that those were the kinds of people Jesus identified as lost sheep and lost coins. But think about it this way. If the sheep and the coin are both lost, who do they belong to? The shepherd and the woman who lost them. And who goes looking for them? The shepherd and the woman who lost them. The coin and the sheep belong to the woman and to the shepherd. If the sinners are lost, who do they belong to? Even before they are found. In other words, these parables are not just about lost outsiders finding salvation and becoming Christians. These parables are about us. They're about the insiders, the people of God, the people who pray, the people who know all the hymns, the people who read the Bible, the people who teach Sunday school. None of us are so found that we might not get lost again. These are parables about lostness on the inside. And what does that mean? We've all been lost. And sometimes we still get lost. I've lived in this area off and on since 2009. And I remember I was having a conversation yesterday about moving from where I lived growing up with four or five stoplights to this area. And the first time that I drove to downtown Norfolk and I got off the highway at like Brambleton or the Scope or something, and I just felt completely helpless. Like I didn't know where I was going or what I was doing. And now that area is almost as familiar to me as the back roads and the shortcuts to get home. But it's not impossible that I would get lost again in Hampton Roads. Lostness happens to the people of God. We can get lost as individuals, and we can get lost as a body. We can get lost when we begin to think we don't need to come to worship, to share life with other Christians, to be a good person. We can get lost when we get fixated on one thing and don't remain open to all the possibilities of what God has waiting for us. It's not that we cross over once and for all from lost to righteous and found. We get lost over and over again, and God never stops looking for us. Lostness is not just an experience for those who seem not to know or to be far from God. It happens to us even within the life of faith. But what does it mean to be lost? I think it means many things. Think for a moment about the ways you've wandered without even realizing it. Sometimes we don't know where to turn. We don't know who to rely on. We forget what it feels like to be in God's presence. We feel hopeless. We don't know what's right or wrong anymore. Some of us get lost when illness makes our bodies fail and we begin to question God's goodness. Some of us get lost when death comes to a loved one unexpectedly and grief consumes our hearts and minds as the world keeps turning for everyone except us. Some of us get lost when our marriages fall apart. Some of us get lost when children break our hearts. Some of us get lost in the throes of addiction or anxiety or lust or unforgiveness or hatred or apathy or bitterness. Some of us get lost even within the very walls of the church. We get lost when prayer feels like emptiness and pointlessness. When the scripture we once loved no longer seems to speak to us. When sitting in the pew on Sunday morning no longer feels like home. When an ordinarily good sermon sounds like nothing but hollow air. When the table of bread and wine that once nourished us leaves us feeling hungry or cranky or bewildered or bored. We get lost. We no longer feel like we belong with the other 99. We're better off in the wilderness alone. We get so utterly lost that the shepherd has to wander through the wilderness to find us. Commentator Amanda Brops-Renaud wrote, "The wilderness of the Judean countryside is hilly and has many places sheep could navigate, but humans could not." In our Sunday school class this morning, we saw some pictures of the Judean countryside, of the hills in Israel. Places where the sheep could go that humans could not, which could make it difficult to find a lost sheep. The myriad of predators, jackals and hyenas, leopards and foxes, would have rendered the sheep vulnerable, yet the shepherd would still go and look for the sheep, with little hope of finding it or finding it alive. Against all odds, the shepherd finds the sheep and returns it to the flock. The shepherd knows they might not ever find it. Again, who does the searching and the finding and the returning? Sheep don't find themselves. Coins don't find themselves. This is such a beautiful example of what we in the Wesleyan tradition call prevenient grace. Even before we ever acknowledge that God exists, that God pursues us, God's Spirit searches for us high and low, leaving no stone unturned. As we live our lives of faith as people who have experienced the justifying grace that allows us to acknowledge that we need a Savior, that same Spirit continues to work on us in what we know is sanctifying grace, that grace that helps us to walk in a relationship with God, to be in community with those who are walking the same way that we are, to help love and serve our neighbors and our enemies. But when we get lost, God hasn't forgotten about us or become so disappointed that God thinks we aren't worth finding. God's not passively waiting until we decide to turn around and come home, or thinking the herd might be better off without that silly lost sheep. No. When we get so completely lost, the housewife lights her lamp, picks up her broom, and sweeps out every nook and cranny of her house to discover what's become of us. Notice that the searching in these parables is not a show. The shepherd isn't just pretending to look for the lost sheep. The woman isn't just putting on an act with her lamp and her broom. What's lost is really lost, actually lost, truly lost, even though God is the seeker. Can we pause for a moment and take in how astonishing that is? God is the seeker. Jesus is suggesting that God experiences loss when we are not in God's presence. That God actually comes after us. That God is always pursuing us. That God will never give up looking for the one precious thing out of all the other precious things that's gone missing. Each one matters. God searches. God persists. God lingers. God plods. God wanders over hills and valleys looking for his lost lamb. God turns the house upside down looking for her lost coin. And when God at last finds what God is looking for, God cannot contain the joy that wells up inside. So God invites everyone over to share in a party, to share the happy news that once what was lost now is found. And all the effort, all the searching was worth it. Can you picture God that way? Can you imagine God as a devoted yet reckless shepherd, leaving the 99 behind to crawl through bushes and clamber over ledges in search of the one? Can you imagine God as a housewife turning the couch upside down, looking under every piece of furniture, hoping to spot a silvery glimmer in the shadows? God doesn't see the coin or the sheep as easily replaceable. They have great value. They're worth looking for. God isn't willing to take a loss. I mentioned that I lose my phone and my keys and my wallet on an embarrassingly regular basis. Each item is costly, but replaceable. They have no emotional or sentimental value. A couple weeks ago, though, my dog Kyla got loose. Her leash was in my hands 1 minute, and she was gone the next. Eric drove up and down the streets of our neighborhood while I trudged up and down the blocks in the hot midday sun, screaming her name. There are lots of dogs in the shelter, which is where I would have had to go next to look for her if I hadn't found her. But I needed my dog, because she is not replaceable. And when we found her, I wasn't mad that she ran away. I celebrated that she was safe. Instead of "the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," this parable might rephrase it: "The Lord is my shepherd and sweeper woman, I shall not be lost for long." The truly transformative part of Jesus' lost and found parables is not that we still get lost, but instead what it teaches us about the nature of God. God, the searcher, the seeker, the determined finder. If Jesus' parables are telling us something true about God, then God isn't at the churches, mosques, and synagogues. God isn't with the religious people. If Jesus' parables are true, then God isn't in the fold with the 99 insiders. God isn't curled up on her couch, polishing the 9 coins she's already sure of. Debbie Thomas says, God is where the lost things are. God is where lostness reigns. God is in the darkness and the wilderness. God is in the remotest corners of the house. God is where the search is at its fiercest. Meaning, if I want to find God, if we want to find God, we have to seek the lost. We have to get lost. We have to be willing to leave the safety of our homes and our safe 99 little sheep and go out there and find the lost ones and consent to being found. This isn't easy for most of us. It's hard. It's hard for us to believe that we're worth looking for, that we are not expendable or replaceable, that we are loved enough and desired enough to warrant a long, hard, diligent search. It's hard to trust that God won't give up on us, that God does God's best work when we're utterly lost and unable to find ourselves, that God will feel so much joy at our recovery that God will tell the whole world the good news and throw us a party. The party is before us, at the table of grace. When we come to the table, we can be found in God's presence, even if just for a moment. And God is celebrating our place at the table. Jesus tells these parables to the religious insiders who won't admit their own lostness. It's interesting that Jesus places the burden of losing a single sheep on the shepherd. Which one of you, having lost one of your sheep, not that it's their fault per se, but sheep can't be shackled or permanently penned. They need freedom to graze and water. God gives us the freedom to get lost, and still God is determined to find us. And probably the most bewildering part of these parables is that the sheep don't look for the shepherd or ask forgiveness or say the sinner's prayer. Neither does the coin have any capacity for such repentance. And the silly sheep will probably wander off again. And what will the shepherd do? The shepherd will go and look again and again and again. I saw a post online this week that said, Jesus ate with sinners. He didn't sin with them. And at this point, it is important because the Pharisees and the scribes observe Jesus with the wrong crowd gathered around him, and they don't realize that his presence in their lives leads to transformation, leads to changed hearts and minds. We are created in God's image like a coin with an imprint on it. But like the woman's lost coin, it can get lost, and over time it can get dirty and tarnished. But Jesus restores that imprint. It was always there, but in his presence, he washes it clean so that when we spend time with him, we begin to look like him again, restored to the image of God. And that is worth celebrating. That is the good news. That is the joy that is returned at the banquet. Amen. We turn now to a time of prayer. I'm going to leave a couple moments of silence for our hearts to digest what we've just heard in the Word, and then we'll pray together. You, Lord, are the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. Thank you that you know me, you know us, and you call us by name, and we know your voice. Thank you that you would search and search for just one missing sheep out of 100, even us, and not rest until it was back in the fold. And thank you, too, that the great words of the Psalms, which comfort and challenge and inspire us, we shall not want, Lord, for we are yours. We were already yours, and we will not be lost for long. And you have given us what we need. You have given us all we need. We thank you for green pastures and for quiet waters and for this place where we come huddled as the 99, even as lost as we might feel, that this is a place where you refresh our souls. Even as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will not fear. You are our shepherd. You have called us by name, and you have rejoiced in the finding of each one. Enfold us in your love as we pray together the prayer that guides us here as the gathering at Scott Memorial. God, help us to gather with you to feed the body, mind, and spirit while being Christ's hands and feet. Help us to love and serve our local community. In Jesus' name we pray.